NCVER conference is on in Adelaide at the moment, the National Council for Vocational Education Research, and I missed the opportunity to enroll in this free conference, but because a couple of friends, both of whom are called Melanie, are not well and are unable to attend the conference, I've been able to go along using their registration. So Melanie and Melanie, thank you. Last night I attended a debate at the Adelaide Town Hall that debated the proposition that university degrees, or the value of university degrees, is grossly overrated. I guess I went in thinking that the answer to that was yes, that is, the proposition is true. On the night, the proposition was actually narrowly defeated, so most people in the audience thought that university degrees were not overrated. It was quite an entertaining evening. The highlight for me was the talk by Annabel Crabb, who was the first speaker on the positive side, that is, the side that was saying that university degrees are grossly overrated. The thing that stood out for me about this debate was the complete lack of reference to technology and some of the developments that have happened as a result of technology. For example, the Khan Academy, the new initiative from Stanford, the TED Education Group, and a host of others who are offering free online tuition in subjects that were once upon a time the province of traditional organizations where you would have to pay and enroll. So there was no reference to these new kinds of courses, these massive online open courses, which are free. And I would have thought it was an obvious thing to mention in the context of a discussion about degrees and qualifications in general. So complete lack of reference to technology and reference to these massive online open courses was disappointing, and a rather embarrassing omission, which kind of tells me that the people who were selected to run the debate or participate in the debate weren't really fully abreast of some of the movements that are at foot in the world. However, entertaining evening. Today I actually went to day one of the conference. David Finnegold was the first speaker this morning as keynote from Rutgers University in the US and New Jersey. He was also in the debate last night. He gave an excellent talk this morning. He was basically talking about the role of China and India in vocational and educational training in the world. China and India together represent 35% of the global workforce. A couple of other interesting stats: that the number of graduates out of universities in China has grown from 600,000 in 1990 to 20 years later, we now have 7 million graduates from Chinese universities. And China has actually been creating new universities at the rate of one per month. And what has happened in China in the last little while represents the greatest internal migration the world has ever seen. 500 million people have moved from the country to the city. The next session I went to was a series of talks on the place of international students in Australia. The first talk was dealing with international students of experience of racism. Well, it was about how well or not international students integrate into the Australian community. And one of the questions these students were asked is, did they experience any racism in Australia? And the good part of this story is that they didn't experience any racism from fellow students or with students or with teachers where they were working, but they all did say that on occasion they experienced unfair treatment based probably on racist attitudes in the general community. Another session I went to was a session by Robert Duffy and Richard Pickersgill. Robert Duffy was the person who spoke most in this session, and he's someone who has been going to world trouble spots after the war is over and trying to establish a vet sector, if you like, or employment and skills development. It was a pretty negative session all up. He didn't seem to have much to offer in terms of an alternative to what currently happens when a country that has been ripped apart by civil war or other strife is invaded, if you like, the secondary invasion by NGOs and donor countries from around the world move in and try and fix things up. His basic point was that with all the best intentions, all the things that happen when NGOs and government agencies move into a war-torn country is that nothing is coordinated. So things are very ad hoc, and there's no addressing of the bigger picture of how a system needs to be completely rebuilt from the bottom up. And it reminded me, again, of an idea. I don't know who first said it, but it keeps cropping up. Now, here in Adelaide, and I'm sure it's the same in other cities in Australia, that one of the problems apparently with the mental health system is that there are a number of government agencies who try to address the needs of people who have mental health issues, but they are all unconnected with each other. That is, there are a number of agencies doing good things, but they don't talk to each other. There's a huge problem with social dislocation, social dysfunction, crime in the northern suburbs here in Adelaide. And I saw a documentary not so long ago on television which highlighted the same issue. There are too many agencies who try and redress these problems, but they don't talk to each other. So if someone's responsible for housing, they do what they need to do. If someone's responsible for health, they do what they do. If it's about education, they do what they do. But there's no oversight of the whole problem. And I first thought about this in relation to problems like global warming, and the River Murray system here in Australia. So we have these very complex problems in modern society that involve a great deal of coordination and tackling these issues from a number of perspectives, and if you like, from a number of different perspectives of faculties or disciplines. And we don't seem to be able to organize the coordination of all these different agencies that are responsible for fixing the problems. Someone suggested this is the result of an education system which is based on lessons, that is, maths is separate from history, which is separate from English, which is separate from physics. And we move into we move into universities where we are forced to specialize in similar approaches. So there's very little in our current education system which approaches these complex issues holistically. So what we've got is society, or a society, members of society at all levels, and according to Robert Duffy, even at that fairly high level where people are moving into Afghanistan to try and fix up the problems caused by war and civil disturbance, they seem unable to communicate. So the idea just came back to me again today. We need to develop people in our education system who are able to approach these complex problems of the modern world and see them from all the different aspects, and not just from the point of view of health or from building or from education. They're my thoughts on day one of the NCVER conference. More tomorrow. Day two, NCVER conference, began with Robin Archer as keynote speaker. She's a longtime hero of mine. When I was a student at university, Robin was a few years ahead and doing, as she said, outrageous things in the world of entertainment with her colleagues at the time. She began by proudly announcing that she has no formal qualifications for what she does. So she's a writer, she's a director, she's a singer, she's a playwright, and a whole host of other things, and she's managed to do all that through the informal process of learning as you go.
an interesting fact about her, well, from her presentation, but she, which was really obviously a big sell for the arts, but the arts contribute $30 billion to the Australian economy, which is more than agricultural, culture, fishing and forestry combined. So if you're thinking about VET and the Australian economy and the schools involved in the arts industry, she was very persuasive in saying that VET needs to take a far more significant role in the promulgation of the arts. The next session I went to was from George Mykonos on navigating VET for at-risk youth from a Victorian perspective, working for the Brotherhood of St Lawrence. He said that what's crucial is that support for one sector, as in school going into VET, needs to be continued, that when this needs to be handed over, if the support stops, then youth at risk will actually stop attending. And perhaps the most significant and worrying thing that he says is that the VET system needs to prioritise pastoral care for learners like this, and I can think of a number of examples recently where that is exactly the kind of thing that has been ditched or unsupported and unfunded in the new Schools for All model. So I can't see the current South Australian system prioritising pastoral care. Next up, some sessions on sustainability. More then.
Two sessions I went to at the NCVER conference on the second day were to do with sustainability. The first of those two sessions was by Mike Brown and Fabian Sack, looking at the perceptions that students have of sustainability. And this was a notable session for a number of reasons. One, because they at least made an attempt to interact with the audience and got us all to move our chairs around and sit in a semicircle or horseshoe. I learnt a number of things. There is a green skills agreement at the federal level. I didn't know that. And just phrases like low carbon economy is a useful phrase to describe what it is we're trying to achieve through the whole notion of sustainability. And they equated the onset of a low-carbon economy with the end of the manufacturing era, which of course has run for several hundred years in the developed world. Had a really interesting aspect, angle on the concept of problem-solving, and much of sustainability is about solving problems. So they see problem solving not just as an employability skill, but it's part of a sustainability mindset. It's actually part of a skill set, if you like, about what sustainability is about, the ability to attack and solve problems. They noted in their research that a number of people had decided that green was a dirty word. So when they were talking to people about their perception of sustainability, they didn't like to describe what they were doing as green because they thought it had become politically tainted. They found in general there is a strong base of motivation among younger students in particular on the issue of sustainability, and I'd have to say that the two sessions that I attended on sustainability, if you looked at the average age of the people who attended, it was definitely under 40. This conference, like many VET conferences, featured an average age of people well into their 50s, like me, and it reminded me of my experience at the Earth, I can't remember the exact name of the event, in the Adelaide Hills last year, but it was a WOMAD event that focused on sustainability, and I was really quite taken that the majority of people at that event were also much younger than the average age of people that I typically find myself with at conferences and education events. So I'd say the whole notion of sustainability is good in good hands, and it's a younger generation. It's Generation X and below who are clearly taking this a lot more seriously than people of an older generation. The final session was from Penny Johnson's TAFSA person in regional who'd been looking at the question of trying to calculate the carbon footprint of campuses. She didn't really have anything solid to present, except she floated the idea that this was a good thing to do and presented a number of strategies as to how you might proceed. I decided not to go to the panel session, the final session of the conference, because it was all about research. And it's an obvious thing, really, when you think about it. The title of the conference, NCVER, the R is for research. A number of people at the conference, probably the majority, are researchers themselves, and they're a particular breed of person. And look, it was a useful conference. Interesting to attend something that wasn't e-learning related. There was a incredible and very noticeable absence of any discussion about technology in terms of e-learning or mobile. And, you know, to some extent I found I was not with my tribe, but I'm glad I went. So Melanie's, hope you're both feeling better and that this little podcast gives you some sense of what took place at the NCVER conference in Adelaide over the last 2 days. Cheers. Thank you.